Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's the return of Carry the G Radio, the podcast with Aaron Nagler and Billy Schmidt of 97.3 The Game, the Packers Radio Network. I will never, ever stop saying that, Billy. Like, it's shameless.
Thank you. Please don't.
The association is just amazing to me. Like, I can't believe it.
It's one of the funniest things as, you know, now this is a celebrity, quote unquote, golf season. Oh, so gosh. You walk up to these foursomes where people have spent a good amount of money.
Right.
Capital G, a lot of times, for a very, very, very worthy cause.
That's right.
And they get hung with me to go and play golf with, who shoots around 100, and I'm supposed to somehow be in this, you know, celebrity, or even better, it was the Legends outing that I did last time.
Oh, no.
So I dropped the Packers Radio Network like every three or four holes, Nag. Yeah, so I appreciate you doing it because it's the only way that I can somewhat feel like these people are not getting absolutely hosed.
I was going to say, when they advertise this or they market it, is it Bill Schmidt of the Packers Radio Network? Is that how it's like kind of laid out?
Yeah. Bill Schmidt of the Packers Radio Network, Badgers Radio Network, Badger Sports Properties, pardon me, and host of 9 to Noon. Yeah. And the best part is like all these different, you know, bios right there.
Sure.
There's some really impressive ones, some really long ones that mine's about like real small.
Couple sentences.
Vibes guy right at the end. That's generally what it is. So that's all it is. You just got to be somewhat entertaining and hopefully you'll be the drunkest guy in the group.
And wait a second. Well, hold up. I just remember this live as we're talking here. Did you have a bratwurst named after you or created for you? What the hell is this? What am I looking at? What is that?
Well, you can get it in your mouth next week on Wednesday at Nooner Day 5 at our tailgate for Brewers and Texas Rangers. Yeah, Beat Your Meats. Now, not yet being sold. Oh, no, that's the name of the shop. Sorry, I think you thought that was another joke.
No, I didn't. I got Beat Your Meats. I got it. Nope.
E-R Meats. Nope. Check out their smokehouse specials. Fantastic stuff over in West Allis. But they're creating a special sausage for our tailgate.
Awesome.
And it's the Billy Brat, and it's a little special, man. A little spicy. I bring some heat.
Well, okay, when I'm in Green Bay for training camp, I fully expect you to be bringing up some Billy Brats.
Grill something up for you. Yep.
We're going to be like right by each other. I'm going to be at
Coy's
place.
You're going to be real close. Yes.
At the iHeart house like a block away. I feel like at some point we got to like grill out, have some Billy Brats. That's going to happen.
Yeah, 1 or 12. And that also means sausages and cold beers.
Naturally. Hopefully some Carry the G if it's out by then.
We'll see. Forgot my bell. Absolutely have to.
Got to do it. Okay, so are you ready for some shamelessness? You know how it's the dead period, right? It's that time of the year. The off-season program has come to conclusion. The Packers are spread across the country, if not the world. And there ain't a whole lot to talk about, unless you want to talk about the fact that they released one of their three kickers, or, you know, they lost out on signing a guard to the Patriots from the XFL. You know, there's not a whole lot of Packers headlines to talk about, is what I'm trying to tell you here.
Yeah, Jonathan Garvin working out for the Cowboys didn't tickle your fancies right there.
Now, I'm just saying, we could talk about those things, but, you know, no, sir. We are going to go through the Packers schedule and shamelessly predict each game. From week one right through the end, and we're going to come up with a collective prediction for the season. That's what we're going to do this week.
We just ranked the best and worst kind of farts 2 days ago on the radio show, so I love this exercise. And we win-loss record the New York Jets earlier on today, so I'm in the mode. I'm ready for this.
I mean, because anytime you, as a member of the Packers Radio Network, get a chance on air to win-loss the New York Jets record, you have to do it.
You have to take advantage of it. Yeah, and when it just randomly pops up in the middle of June, it's the best time for it.
Got to do it. Absolutely have to do it. So that's what we're going to do here. Win, loss, why, all of it with the green and gold, starting with week one in Sao Paulo, down in Brazil, taking on those dirty birds. Well, actually, that's Atlanta, isn't it? Taking on those not wearing green, probably going to be in black, Philadelphia Eagles. Billy, I got to admit, this game kind of scares me because it's week one. It's new coordinators. It's, you know, a team that has had some pretty damn good success the run of the last like 3 or 4 years. Obviously, a bit of an implosion at the end of last season, but there's still a lot of talent on this Eagles team, and I'm fascinated to see how different they look comparative just because of the different approaches on offense and defense. Again, they've got a lot of talent. Clearly, they've lost some, but for me, I think this is like the unscouted look bowl, right? Between their new coordinators and the new approach on defense in Green Bay, I got to suspect this is going to be a high scoring game. Not early, but as the game progresses, I think both the Eagles and especially Matt LaFleur are going to be in their bag as far as pulling out a few things that we haven't seen before.
The thing about two playoff teams from a year ago, and there's three new coordinators in the game.
It's crazy, right?
It really is. And for Philadelphia, we talked about it a couple of different times on the show. I think they're still in that upper echelon, in that top tier of teams in the NFC. I think the really fascinating thing for them is how do they replenish what their superpower as the organization has been for the last 7 to 8 years? Because they're loaded with skill players.
Yeah.
High-priced skill players now, yep. Right? After they signed the A.J. Brown extension, Devonta Smith's extension not going to kick in yet, but he just got a massive contract. Hurts' extension kicks in this year now for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Saquon Barkley deal.
They got Barkley. Yep.
They're paying Dallas Goedert real tight end money, like he's top seven or so at the position. But their best units have been the offense and defensive lines.
The lines, exactly.
And right in the middle,
and you lose Jason Kelsey, you know, it's like
your Cox on the other side, exactly. Who still was playing a decent amount of ball last year for them.
Absolutely. At that spot.
Now they replaced them with the two Georgia kids in Carter and Jordan Davis.
Right.
And I think the returns on Carter, obviously a little bit better than Davis so far, but
I think that's just availability though.
Yeah.
I mean, when Davis is on the field, he's a monster.
Yeah. Like, so I'm interested to see how that replenishes, right? Because as long as they don't, it's not clear how much they miss Fletcher Cox in the pass rush game, because that's what he does best.
Yeah.
And their outside run game and their zone game without Jason Kelsey being able to reach on the perimeter and really allow them to run
control
outside.
Control that. Yes. Yes.
That's going to be very, very fascinating. I think in week one, they can scheme up enough, like you were saying, of the unscouted looks to, this is probably 31-24, something like you mentioned, a little bit higher scoring game, 27-24. I like the Packers, though.
I do too.
I also think some of it is, just as dumb as this sounds, I love the fact that we stole this game out of the lane.
Oh, a million percent.
A massively Packers-heavy crowd.
Totally agree. I will say the one kind of real, I can't even say it's a wild card because he's obviously a known quantity, but it's, you know, Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
As far as just his ability to stymie what you're trying to do and be able to kind of adjust in real time. He's seen it all. You know, there's nothing you're going to throw at him that he hasn't seen before. Maybe you catch him in a bad look at some point in the second half. Like I said, like lots of unscouted stuff, but he's the entity to me that, you know, that's where if the Packers have issues, it's going to be because of how the Eagles are playing on defense and how rock solid assignment sure, just because of him coming in, implementing his stuff and their ability to just kind of control everything that the Packers like to do, whether that's the zone scheme and working off of that, some of the boot action stuff. Clearly, I think Jordan's going to have a lot more autonomy at the line of scrimmage. We've already seen hints of that kind of reported throughout the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
That cat and mouse game to me is going to be fascinating to watch.
I can't think of one, even when he went to be the head coach of Denver and they were obviously not fantastic.
Right.
I can't think of a defense though, that's ever gotten worse when Vic Fangio.
It's just been rock solid wherever he's been. Like even in Miami last year. And I know the guys in Miami are talking all sorts of junk about him. And I get that. Like it was very much a Ronan situation. Right. But I thought he did what he could do with what he had. Right.
God. And they were massively dinged up all year long. Yes.
Yeah. So I do think, yes, if there's a wild card that could win the game, so to speak, for the Eagles, and I like Hurts. You mentioned all their skill players. I don't doubt for a moment that they're going to get theirs, right? But I think it really is on Fangio to win this game. for the Eagles. But I do, I'm with you. I like the Packers. I like their young offense kind of continuing to mature and surprise people on a national stage. Well, if, again, LaFleur just probably being in his bag.
These the two best quarterbacks in the NFC?
They're in the combo. I know people will cape up for Dak for good reason. I think Dak's really good as well. I think Dak gets a lot of unnecessary hate. But yeah, I think you look across the landscape of that conference, it's hard to say otherwise, right?
Stafford will be in the conversation there when healthy, but like that's
Goff just got paid and the Lions fans will cape up for him. But I don't think you can say, like, as far as, well, there's two components here, right? There's playing the position, but then there's also untapped upside, there's athleticism, and I think if you put all of that together, give me Love and Hurts over Goff. But I think Goff playing the position and knowing where to go with the ball and making the adjustments pre-snap, all of that, I'd probably put him in that conversation. But you're talking just exponentially more upside with Jordan Love, I think.
Yeah, and I think both of these guys still have more untapped potential. And Hurts is one of the only guys that I can think of that has gotten this much better at throwing the football when he got to the NFL. So it's
crazy,
it's fascinating to me. I really like the Eagles this year. And that's right after I picked the Packers to win the game here. But I just think they're still one of the best teams top to bottom roster wise. They have been. And even though their coach is annoying as hell.
I was wondering if we were going to,
I'm not a massive fan of his, so it's another reason why to be pulling against them. But I really like Jalen, and I think that they have so much talent on that offense that you're going to have to knock them out.
Yeah, tend to agree. So the Packers start 1-0, according to Aaron and Billy.
Come on, so
didn't really have to convince you of that one.
Great vibes coming in.
And then you go to week two, and I'll find what's interesting to me. Right, not an uncommon opponent in the Indianapolis Colts, right? Not a team that they've faced off against a lot under Matt LaFleur, and a noon kickoff. I find it interesting that they go from this Friday night real outlier of a game in another country, right? Nationally televised or nationally streamed on Peacock. And they fall into a home opener at noon against an uncommon opponent, an AFC uncommon opponent. I don't love it, Billy. I don't like the vibes for this home opener.
Feels a little Saints-like after the 325 Bears opener last year that was so highly anticipated. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think it's even worse because I think the Colts are probably more talented and have if the kid, comes out of his
more unknowns, definitely.
The more unknowns, but they have a quarterback who I think could really be a problem, and not just throwing the football, but running it as well. And I know they'll probably want to limit some of that because of the way he got injured last year. But I don't know, man. It's just, that's a tough turnaround for me. And I would not be surprised if the Packers lost this game.
Well, and that's where I was going to kind of test the waters with you. I very well see them dropping one of these two, right? One of these week two, week threes between Tennessee and Indianapolis. Now, I haven't seen Brian Callahan as a head coach. I think he's going to be okay, right? I think Tennessee's okay. They have a lot of very different pieces this year, so it's hard to just assume that it all works right away. But go to Nashville. You want to talk about the old Miami flu. Nashville will be one right there, late stages of September. But I'm with you on the Colts because Anthony Richardson just provides you so many things you haven't seen. And we did not see at all the best Jonathan Taylor a year ago. Right?
Not even close.
Not even close. And I think Steichen did so much.
Underrated coach. I really think he got slept on big time by the national media, certainly, over the course of the season and so far this offseason.
He was my coach of the year most of the season last year for the thought of not only Nags when you lose Richardson after four games, go back a couple of months to when, hey, man, you just got this awesome dream job in the NFL. How's it going? Well, my star player hates everybody. My owner says whatever the fuck he wants.
Right.
And I'm sitting here hoping that everybody shows up and everyone's healthy. But other than that, it's pretty awesome.
It's pretty great. So,
that is those turbulent waters to come right out of losing the Super Bowl and having to have that still on your mind. I thought he had an amazing first year, and it's apropos that it's being talked about right after the Eagles week, because they were so different without Steichen calling plays and utilizing Jalen.
Yes, I totally agree. So this is what I'm thinking, Billy, and I know this, like, people listening will probably hate this, but I suspect they lose that game to the Colts and then they win down in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess.
Yeah, I think it's one or the other. Yep. I think they win at the home opener and then lose in Tennessee, or like you just mentioned, lose at home and then have something for Tennessee the next week in Nashville.
So we split that between you and I. Now the Packers head to Minnesota, or I'm sorry, stay at home against Minnesota. They're back at home. And this is a gold package game because it's Lambeau.
Come on.
All three divisional opponents this year, gold package, Billy and his squad representing, no question about it. Here's what I'm thinking, Billy. I think the Packers boat race the Vikings. I think they come off of, well, I'm saying they're lost down in Tennessee, and I think they circle the wagons, noon start, and they just kill the Vikings. Like, I don't know, what have the Vikings done on defense that's going to stop everything we saw on New Year's Eve with Jordan Love and the way they were able to move the ball and really kind of do what they wanted on offense. And then you turn it around. Are we really worried about either one of these quarterbacks coming into Lambeau? And I understand maybe they run the ball. Maybe they like button it up and bleed clock and play that game, play keep away from the Packers offense, which is entirely possible. Though I don't think the coach has that in him. I think he wants to throw the ball. I think he wants to run his offense, right? Yeah, I think the Packers kill the Vikings here.
That makes me so happy. The path to victory for Minnesota is if Aaron Jones goes all Dalvin Cook, right? Like, that would be the situation.
But they would have to button it up, run the football, and they just have never shown that's how they want to operate ever and in any capacity. Even when they had, like, Dobbs as their, like, fourth quarterback on the season last year, they still didn't turn into a 3 yards in a cloud of dust team, you know? Still tried to throw it around.
And understandably so with Addison and Jefferson, I'd want to get him the ball too, but no Hockenson. I would be really hard pressed to see him playing before October 15th, November. So yeah, I'm with you on that, because even though Grenard comes over from Houston, that's got to help in the pass rush department with Dallas Turner. I just don't see them generating enough. I love Brian Flores, but he just doesn't have enough talent on that defense. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think it's definitely a Packers win. Not sure about the boat race situation, but I would take him to cover and probably will.
There you go. Then the Packers head west, young man, and they being the Los Angeles Rams, get their wish and get the Green Bay Packers in Los Angeles. They've been faced off against the Packers many times in Lambeau Field over the course of the last 5-6 years. Finally get those Packers back out in L.A., only, in my mind, to drop another one to the green and gold. I think there's no doubt that McVay versus LaFleur is going to be over-covered, because it always is. But I do think it's a fascinating kind of narrative. You love watching both of their offenses. But I think this is a game the Packers win, mostly because, as you saw last year, there's no doubt that Stafford makes a world of difference. I think it's going to be a higher-scoring game. But I think the Packers have enough talent in the defensive secondary to handle all of the things that the Rams are going to try and throw at them through the air. Like, there's no doubt they're going to move the ball. They're going to score points, but I think they're going to be able to limit them just enough to get out of there with a win.
Well, and this is where this exercise is always very fun. When you throw in injury status and health to it,
It's hard.
If Kyron Williams is healthy, I like the Rams. If he is not, I don't like the Rams in just about any game they play, right? Like, he unlocks so much of what they like to do and how different they are when he's running outside the tackles. I was listening to McVay talk with Chris Long this week, and that was one of the biggest parts of it. They do have guys on the outside. Cooper Kupp's going to have a monster year this year. Sounds like he was definitely dealing with a lot of injury stuff a year ago. They have weapons, no doubt about it. If they run the ball like they can, I think that's a much tougher game. I also think there's something to be said for, you want to talk about the interesting environment.
Yeah.
That's gonna be
filled with Packers fans.
It's gonna be filled with Packers fans.
It's gonna be a Packers home game for guys.
Is it StubHub Center Packers home game? And it's a sleepy squad going out for that 325 game like it was against the Chargers a number of years ago.
Oh no, don't bring that up.
I like this a lot closer to a toss-up, but you know, you convinced me on the Packers rolling, so I'll roll with you on the dub.
Yeah, I think that's a W. And then the Packers are back home for a back-to-back nooners against the Cardinals and the Texans. I got to admit, I see a win against the Cardinals. I think they take a loss against the Texans. And I know people are going to hate that, but, man, I just think that Texans team, so cohesive on offense last year, their ability to really take advantage of defenses by utilizing, like, you know, tight splits and then the route combinations. I just think the Packers at this point, what are they? Wait, that's week 7 when they face off against the Texans.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Cardinals will be tougher than people expect, but I think the Packers should be able to win that game. With the Texans, I just think, man, Stroud and company, and then you flip it over. They play such discipline, a disciplined brand of ball on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a tough out, and I think the Packers take it on the chin.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I also am with you on the Cardinals being a tougher game than people are going to give it credit for. Yeah, I think
that's a 23-17 type win.
Yeah, I think it's a one-score game that people can be pulling their hair out at the end of it, because people do kind of forget Kyler Murray went healthy pretty good.
Pretty dynamic.
And they add in one of the more impressive pass catchers that I've seen coming out of college in Harrison Jr. But the other thing about Houston is, like, look at their offense, how you mentioned a year ago, all different guys that were able to be effective. And then just add in Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon.
Yes.
That's those are two additions that are going to be an issue for many people. Whether or not Diggs is 1,000% bought in, he will be in year one. Year three is generally when the problem.
I mean, we're only 7 weeks in at this point. He doesn't self-destruct until like week 3 of year 2. You know, he'll be okay.
Plenty of time. They haven't played a playoff game yet for him to get mad at. So so it's all going to be good in the neighborhood down there in Houston.
Yeah.
This is where it depends, though. And this is, I think, one of those lines of demarcation. You mentioned it's week 7 or so.
Yeah.
So this would be if
Joe is
playing at a level.
See, I don't, and I think he will
back
be.
Back half of next year, last year.
I don't worry about that. I'm on the other side of the ball.
17 games, right. Full regular season where you see a different level of play. I mean, like, him and Stroud could be a matchup that I'm stunned. It's a noon game. I'll tell you that much.
Everybody
I definitely thought the network was going to put it at least at 325 because it's going to be one of the more discussed games.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it is. They could potentially at that point. Remember, you can flex these earlier games now.
Maybe
it gets changed, but yeah, I'd be surprised. I am surprised when you look at, to me, it's about the defensive side of the ball for the Packers against Stroud and company, because you're still at that point 7 weeks in where I gotta think, much like we saw last year on offense, these defensive youngsters are going to be kind of finding their way at times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think the way they operate on offense, and you add in those guys you talked about, that's just a tall order. It's just But we'll see. You know, hell, this could be a 24-0 Packers victory for all we know. But I'll take it. Then we watch the Packers go to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
It's a noon game in Jacksonville. I kind of hate that. But I do think this is a game the Packers should win. I do think Doug Peterson is always a tough guy to go against. But I think LaFleur and company do just enough to get out of there. I think that's one of those annoying games where it's going to be, even, you know, late October, it's going to be hot.
It's
an early start. And I think the Packers fans will travel well. I think a lot of fans in the stands there in Jacksonville. I think this is going to be an ugly game, but a game the Packers should win.
Yeah, and I think this is one that they drop to the Jags and company. They were a team, especially early in the year. Jacksonville last year was one of the top seeds in the AFC before
they
had a colossal collapse towards the end of the season.
Right.
I really like Jacksonville's offense, though. Even with the loss of Ridley, I'm one of the bigger Trevor Lawrence fans out there.
Okay.
And I really, really like their coach, too. That's a conference or a division in that conference that for the last, you know, decade or so has been one team gets in, They're generally the four seed. People are bitching that they have a home playoff game. I think they get two teams probably in. I think it's Jacksonville and Houston, the two that we just mentioned. So if they are losing against Houston at home, maybe it's a little different. But for everything you mentioned, that's going to be 90 degrees or so.
Yeah,
it's going to be an early start noon game. I like the Jags to nip Green Bay there.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. But like I said, I think it's ugly, and I think the Packers win. And then they come home, our boys do. Our heroes return on November 3rd for another gold package game against the Detroit Lions.
Come on now.
And I think the Packers get up for this one, and I think this is a W. I do not doubt for a moment this is going to be one of the toughest games of the year for the Packers. I think the Lions have spent all offseason with this game circled because they know they went into – Green Bay last year and took care of business, but the way the Packers just absolutely smacked them around on national television on Thanksgiving Day, yeah, that's sitting in there. That's in their collective memory. I think more than anything, Dan Campbell doesn't want to like lose his grip on this dominance that he's had over Matt LaFleur. Like he wants to say, okay, LaFleur, you got your one. Now we're back to my guys pushing your guys around. Yeah. I think that's their mentality, right? But I think Halfley and company, at this point, they got something for you. I think this is where the Packers defense starts to gel. I think this Packers offense continues to be able to move the ball and score points against the Detroit defense that I think is going to be good. But yeah, to me, this is a Packers victory.
I don't know that Detroit's secondary is good enough yet. I know that they've added a bunch. I know that they tried to tweak a bunch.
They do every year. Every year they're adding.
Every year it does.
On the back end.
Yeah. I think they split with Detroit. I'm kind of with you, and I would lean towards them winning the home game instead of the road one because, like you mentioned, just the way that it went down last year, how it looked, and them going to Detroit for a night game for a crowd that doesn't get a whole lot of night games.
Yes.
I like Detroit winning their home game, so I do with you. Raucous, top five probably crowd in the NFL this season, that gold package crowd against the Lions on November 3rd. So
some big words there, sir. Some big words.
Massive W. Well, most importantly, Nags, that's going to be a frustrated crowd, or that might be the game that breaks the record for most political ads in an NFL broadcast because it's the 3:25 national TV window,
man.
Right before the election. That's right going to be fun.
The election's the next Tuesday.
Thank God I'm at that game.
Yeah, no watching the television on that one. God help us all. What is nice is the Packers get that victory and then head into the bye week. So, get healthy, get whatever ailments are out there, get those
ready for the stretch of the season that
and get ready for the back half, which I love. I love where the bye week falls this year. To exit the bye week and head to Chicago. So you're not even going very far away, but you are facing off against the Bears, who I'm just gonna say it. They're going to be a tough out this year. And I know we like to make fun of the Bears. The Bears still suck. That all is true. But I do think the tough part for the Packers is that the Bears defense is legit. I think there's no doubt that they are going to continue to be legit. And the Packers are going to be catching the Bears after their young quarterback and their offense has had half a season to get on the same page. And I'm not scared of it. I'm not worried about it. But I think that's going to make it tougher than it would have been. I think you catch the Bears that first 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks into first month or so. Yeah, you're probably going to be able to take advantage of the kid. But I think by this point in the season, they're going to be looking, if not dangerous, they're going to be looking much better than they ever looked under Justin Fields. That's my guess.
Well, and I
still think the Packers get this W.
I think they're also going to be nags in the hunt, which is going to be a dangerous spot. Now, you talk about somebody having this game circled. Chicago Bear fans have had this game circled the entire time. The organization has for a long time. Because they did last year, week one, right?
Yeah.
I also like the Packers in the game. I think it's going to be fascinating, the conversation leading into it. I like it because they're off the bye. It's one of the biggest reasons why.
It helps. It helps, definitely.
Because we talked about this maybe last week. You look at the Bears' schedule before this.
Yeah.
It's the softest as Charmin could bring you, right? To allow all of those learning lessons, like you mentioned, for a Caleb Williams to prepare for this. Also kicks off their hardest part of the schedule. I mean, they get San Francisco, much like the Packers do the next week. They get all their division games basically right after this. So I think it's a rude awakening into, but it would not surprise me if the Packers go into that game, even where we have them, what, with three losses right now as a dog, because if the Bears are, you know, say 6-3 at that point, even 5-4, I think people will be able to convince themselves that they are a much more dangerous team going into this. Like, I think it's going to be awesome.
I want to make a bet with you right now. There is no way Green Bay goes into this game as an underdog.
As an underdog?
I'm putting my marker down right now. What is it, June 18th? Like, we have to have a gentleman's bet. I must give you a case, not a case. I'll give you a 4-pack of Carry the G if the Packers go into this game as an underdog. Mark it zero. No chance.
And if you are correct, I will chug 4 Carry
the G. No, because then you get beer. Wait a second. No. No. That's not how this works. If the Packers are favored in this game, you have to send me a pack of Billy Brats. I can't get good Wisconsin brats out here.
It's got to be difficult for you. No,
I can get anything in the world in New York except good Wisconsin brats.
It's just the part of it, Nags. Like, if indeed they are who the Bears are, a little bit more of who we thought they
were. You're trying to talk yourself into this. I understand, but it's not going to happen.
Well, then the Packers go down and win by 2 touchdowns, and then just think about the hearts walking out of there, across Grant Park, just begging for Union Station to be any closer, but it's not. It's still a 3.5
mile begging for the walk. Sweet relief of death is what they're going to be asking for. I can't wait. And then the Packers head home, and you talk about going into a stretch. The Packers go into a stretch here, starting with their showdown with the hated San Francisco 49ers at home, but still hated. You know what, Billy? I know this probably goes against some logic, and I'm sure that 49ers fans are very confident that their squad is going to march into Lambeau and get that dub because they've seemingly owned the Packers for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers win this game. I think Jordan Love is a totally different dude this time around facing the 49ers in Lambeau Field. I think he's going to be at the height of his powers. And I do not doubt for a moment that Jeff Hafley is going to make the 49ers offense is going to get theirs. No doubt about it. But Purdy's going to get got once or twice. Like they're going to have something for him. This is a game where the Packers maybe don't get a monkey off their back, so to speak, but they do give Packers fans a little bit of respite from the 49ers being the boogeyman.
Well, it definitely gives you confidence going into the postseason, hopefully where you're headed, right? Like, right. I mean, I would just, if you're walking out of that and I'm taking calls on the postgame show after, say, a 34-21 loss, and maybe the score is a little bit closer than the game was,
yep,
it's going to be difficult to get people back on the bandwagon and like you mentioned, believing that you're going to be able to stop them and that the run of dominance is going to stop. I do agree with you, though, that this is a game that Hafley is ultimately going to be the biggest story because the Shanahan LaFleur story has been a part of it. Now we bring in another one of our wild cards, and Shanahan was one of the guys that vouched for him. Yep. That part of it becomes a different layer to this rivalry, and the Packers got to get one for it to actually be a rivalry. So they win this one right here.
Got to do it. And like the couple wins they have under LaFleur against the 49ers, one of them was when the 49ers were completely
the 29ers. Yeah.
They were completely kind of decimated by injury. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was that Aaron Rodgers amazing pass to Devontae set up Mason Crosby, kick the field goal in week 3. That's like the signature win over the 49ers in LaFleur's time in Green Bay. Like they need
damn near in my lifetime now.
They need another one. I know. Yes. You're a young yep. man. I remember owning Steve Young. You don't remember all that. That was good times.
God, I wish.
Was good times, my friend.
No, instead I just remember watching that stupid guy kissing the bicep and negative 14 degree weather. Thanks.
Oh man. Yeah. See, this is where history changes. You know, it's a wheel, man. History is a wheel, right? It continuously turns. And this is where it starts to turn in the Packers' favor against the 49ers. This is the start of it under Jordan Love. And then they host another friend of LaFleur in Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins on Thanksgiving night. Now, you and I have discussed often how much I hate holiday games, but I will say Evening time, fine. Give me the whole day to eat and watch football.
Okay. For it. Coming around.
I'm still like hating the idea of the nerves and anxiety all throughout Thanksgiving Day. Like, I'd prefer just to eat and not have to worry about my team playing. But if the squad has to play on Thanksgiving, I'll take the night game so I can enjoy the day, so to speak, with my family, you know?
I'm interested in that. I love it. I'm also a little nervous about this because if you and I both are feeling good about San Francisco,
yeah,
this feels like letdown city USA.
Yeah, there's a potential there. No doubt about it. No
and also about it. And also think about, you know, the history between these two, the last time they played on a holiday.
Packers got the dub.
Big win for the Packers.
That would help. They got Tua concussed during the game.
Correct. Correct. So Tua could come correct and stand on some business. And the Packers could very well go to 0-2 in this Thanksgiving night slot. And the other reason why I think they lose this one, Nags, is because if you're just going on the when it rains, it pours theory.
Right.
For the media starts with me, as Drew Olsen would like to say. Yeah. That's a 7:20 Packers Dolphins at Lambeau Field night.
Right.
Badgers next morning, 11 a.m. kickoff in Madison. So I'm going to have to drive the 3 hours pissed after that down to Madison, sleep in my car for 4 hours, go in and then watch.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully be able to win that axe. Yeah. So it's there's a real chance that that is made prime.
See, I feel like, see, this is it. Okay. See, now it's my turn to talk you down because this, I feel like that anxiety is informing your ideas here as far as the win loss, because I think the Packers win this game. I think in Lambeau later in the year, I like them in this game. I think it's going to be tough. And I think McDaniel is an offensive genius. And I think they've got the weapons, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But again, man, I think Affley's got something for Tua. And I think there's zero doubt in my mind that Jordan Love's going to be able to move the ball and score points. And, you know, I like him in this game. I absolutely like him in this.
I got a bad feeling this is a Tyreek Hill rocking the baby kind of game. And all of a sudden you're sitting down saying, how on earth did this guy get 190 yards?
I refuse to believe that we have hired a defensive coordinator who doesn't understand we got to roll coverage and keep someone over the top at all times. Other guys are going to hurt you. Other guys are going to kill you. You're going to deal with it. I understand all that. But there's no way Halfley lets Tyreek Hill just go ham. No way.
There's some way that
no chance
defensive coordinators allow it every single week almost.
Absolutely not. I will burn this place to the ground if that happens. Nope. And then we have the Packers traveling on another Thursday game. So a week after their Thanksgiving game, they feature in primetime once again in Detroit. And this one, dear readers, listeners, followers, unfortunately, this is where I see the Packers taking another L. This is a tough environment. I know they did what they did last year. Last year is last year. Past is not prologue. I think especially in this game, the Lions are up for it, and the Lions take care of business.
Yeah, especially like we said, beginning of the month, the Packers get a win. 1 month later, I think they lose there. And this is where, for me, it would be the biggest set of adversity you could get. If you lose two primetime night games, one at home against a team you're going to be favored against, lose one in Detroit where you're probably going to be a dog depending on the situation where they're at. If you lose both of those coming in here going over two, now you really got to lick your wounds.
The questions start, the narratives begin. We're talking on the radio and on podcasts about, oh, what's wrong with the Packers, etc. Although I will say this, Billy, does anyone remember 2010 when they lost to, I think it was the Dolphins and then the Falcons back-to-back weeks and all the questions and the Packers are in trouble, etc. All they did was go on and win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, like, you can have those tough stretches, but that doesn't define your season.
Well, and even though if we're calling for, you know, 1-2 losses in this stretch, that's not a crazy run in the four games that they're going up with of San Francisco, Miami, Detroit, Seattle. Seattle just ended up missing the playoffs a year ago. But, like, those are all teams that were playoff competitors throughout the year and tough outs. And those are going to be massive games, not only for the Packers, but for the NFL, because there's a reason why they put all of them in prime time.
And didn't the Packers, like, lose five in a row last year or the year before that? Like, what year before that, they were primed to make the playoffs, but missed out. But last year, they lost like four games in a row.
Last year, they didn't win a game for 42 days.
Right? And they still went to the playoffs. They still won a playoff game. So it's like, it just, it doesn't, I keep coming back to this because it's like fans tend to freak out when that thing, those types of things happen. And it's like the sky is falling. And it's like, no, it's adversity and it's tough, but it doesn't mean your season is defined by it or over by any stretch of the imagination.
No, your season's actually defined on how you respond to it and how you go and get ready to go and take on the Seahawks, which is going to be maybe the toughest environment they play in all year.
It's going to be a tough game, but the Packers win this game. The Packers win this game by a field goal. Anders Carlson, hero game. He hits a 53-yarder for the
Wow. Yeah. Just burying Greg Joseph like that, giving him no chance.
I have zero chance. Come on, Billy. What is that line from Princess Bride? Sir, we are men of action. Lies do not become us. We all know Anders Carlson's going to win that job. Come on now. He's
going to
go kick a 53-yard field goal for the win out in Seattle. Yes. Yes, I am sure. I am positive.
I love the game-winning kick. I got Joseph making the game-winning kick, but I'm with you on
this
that.
Is another ugly game. This is going to be an ugly game. McDonald's going to be ready for Jordan Love and company. I think this is a game
16-13,
something like that. Yep, 100%. And Carlson nails the game winner, and he's the hero. And then the Packers come home Christmas week and have a Monday nighter, another primetime game against the New Orleans Saints. And Billy, I'm just going to tell you this straight up. There is no way the Packers can lose this game.
Yeah, this cannot happen for your well-being.
The Packers cannot lose this game because I am moving in with my Saints fan girlfriend in October, which means I'm going to be living with a Saints fan when this game occurs. Billy.
And you're probably going down there for Christmas or you're celebrating Christmas and after.
No,
oh, okay,
no,
thank God.
No,
yeah,
God, Jesus, say. No. It was funny is that her brother-in-law texted me when the schedule came out and just, Saints, Lambeau Field, December 23rd, eyeball emoji. And I was like, yeah, I know. I first thing I said to Sarah, I was like very excited. And then it took like 30 seconds and he texted me right back. Yeah, of course, her mom's like crazy about Christmas and would absolutely kill us. I'm like, yeah, I know. Well, it was fun to think about for like 20 seconds. You know, it's all right. It's good.
But you'll be back in time.
Packers got to win this game, dude. I cannot handle a Packers loss. I'm telling you, I was getting like gleeful, like playful texts when they were down 17-0 to the Saints week 3 last year.
Was early in courtship. Yeah, that's exactly. This would now be full blown,
and not just from her, like her like father and like her mother, the siblings, like no.
Yeah, you're gonna need a Packers win here, and you're gonna need this to be one of the final games that Dennis Allen coaches as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, which I think all of which are true. I think he's
a really good defensive mind. I just don't see him as a head coach at all.
It's a difficult job to get and keep right now if you're a defensive coach. Next, think about it. You got to be one of, if not the top five head coaches in the NFL if you're gonna be able to keep one of these jobs as a defensive guy. It's difficult.
Very, very tough.
And especially your quarterback situation is going to be
so messed up, and your cap is hell. And like, yes,
yeah.
I think this is a game where I think, look, the Saints showed on defense because that's where they're good, right? Mm-hmm. They know how to approach LaFleur's offense. Like they know exactly how many times they have to mix it up. And of course, Jordan Love was very, very early on in his tenure as a starter last time around. But yeah, this is a game the Packers have to win. Got to get a W here. This is I'm marking it a W.
Well, that's an absolute win. Yeah,
that's a W.
2-0 here in the last two.
And then, oh boy, then we travel to Minnesota for what is right now a noon game. Maybe it gets flexed. I got to be honest, Billy. I know I'm all bravado and like confident at the home game that they're going to kill the Vikings right early in the year. I think this is a close loss. I think this is the Vikings. I think this is the Vikings Super Bowl, and they surprise the Packers.
You think the Vikings are still in playoff contention here?
They're hovering around. Remember how the Packers needed like a million things last year to happen for them to even have a chance at the playoffs? They all just happened to happen, right? Like every week, what was it? Like these things need to occur. And it was like this huge list of this team needs to lose and that team needs to win and blah, blah, blah. And they all just happen to fall into place.
Yeah.
I think that's where the Vikings are going to be. Like, they're going to be sitting at, like, they'll have just the hovering around 500.
Little glimmer of hope. Yeah.
Glimmer of hope. And this game against the Packers is their Super Bowl.
Yeah. I see the Packers winning. The tough thing for me is, if indeed Darnold is still the quarterback of the Vikings at this point, he has then played well enough for what you're saying is to keep them in contention.
Hope is there. Right.
And I very much could see it throughout the season, right? Like, look at the pass catchers they have. Yeah. You and I both are extremely high on their coach, even though he does like to maybe throw the ball a little bit too much. And I think Darnold is better than people have given him credit for. And I think that.
Yeah, but everybody says that. And then he goes and he plays like Darnold. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, everybody, including NFL teams, say, oh, you know, he's better than he's shown. And then he's given opportunities again and again and again. And he always looks like Sam Darnold.
In shit situations, though. I mean, let's call a spade a spade.
Okay. But like, yo, at some point, you have to make the plays.
Now you get the good situation. Now you get everything copacetic. And if he is still the quarterback and they're in this thing, then the Packers are winning.
I mean, what was the bad situation in San Francisco? I mean, he got some time in San Fran, and he looked like Sam Darnold.
Oh, he never got to play in San Fran.
In preseason.
Well, yeah.
Some of those guys.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. He's still Sam Darnold. You know?
Well, I mean, he showed enough to be able to get himself $11 million. So, like, so if McCarthy is playing, then I'm with you that it's their Super Bowl, because I think at that point they're probably eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah.
And it's the last hurrah there, and some weird fluky stuff could happen, especially if the horn really gets going. Maybe it's special teams turnover or something.
Yeah.
But I think the Packers are winning there because they've gotten the problems behind them 3 weeks ago.
Gotcha.
And now it's really gearing up for probably a win in both teams could be in situation for Week 18.
Wow. Okay. Because then we go to Week 18 and we got the homestand once again with the gold package in attendance for a season-ending game against your hated Chicago Bears. And now this is a game I have the Packers winning. I can't imagine a world where they lose this game. And not in a, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are playing the Lions to get into the playoffs. They have to win this game. Like, I'm all tight and nervous about it. Like, the Packers are going to win this game. I have no nerves or anxiety about this. Like, they are going to win this contest. I have zero doubt.
LaFleur is going to go for the full dozen of wins before he catches a loss against the Bears.
100%. Packers end on a W, and they head into the playoffs. And what it's like, between the two of us, I think we're pretty similar. We're sitting at around three or four losses on the year, essentially. Right.
Yeah, I think I had 12-5 ish. Maybe one or two more stumbles in here, because I think they do lose this game. I think the Bears end up winning and getting into the playoffs. I think the Packers are already in.
So that's the kind of,
and that can be
one caveat, right? Yep. If the Packers have things wrapped up, and this could be the Pratt Bowl, maybe, or Sean Clifford leads them out of the tunnel. You know, like, it's entirely possible if Jordan Love sits because they're in the playoffs already. But even then, they beat the Bears. Come on now.
He said even then, not mattering.
Even then, I think they beat the Bears. Come on. You know, it's the Bears.
It's starts loose. The week 11-1 by, listen. I'm not going to be. I know we like making fun of the Bears. They're going to be better. This is a better landing.
Well, that's a home game. You know, like I said, they're like probably coming off a decent amount of, you know, promise as far as the early part of their schedule. Yeah, we're going to win that game. We're going to win this game. Like, I got to
win this one, and then we're going to win the next one. We're going to win the next
all the way to the Super Bowl. Well, that's the whole point, right? That's why they play these games.
Talking about.
Well, you know what? This has been a fun exercise. None of this is going to happen. But this is always a good time in June to go through the
schedule. Could you imagine, though, if we just shut the box and call every single one of them right?
It'd be kind of amazing.
And we didn't bet on it?
Kind of amazing.
That'd be so upsetting.
We did have one major bet, though.
Gamble on the season here.
We did have one major bet, though, sir. The Packers are not heading into that Bears game, that first Bears game, as an underdog. There is no fucking way.
He said, there's no way.
No way.
I don't love my side of that bet as much. No, I really don't love my side of that bet as much, but I'm always down to get a wager in. And there, if that's going to be the only wager we can have, then I'll take it.
For now, we'll see.
For now, we'll find another couple.
We'll find another couple two tree as the off season goes along. Billy, it's always fun, always a good time. People, if you are listening, I imagine you already know this, but just in case you've been in the dark, because sometimes you maybe are listening on watching on YouTube or could listening be. On yeah. the Packers Daily stream, which is where I've put this on podcasts earlier in this kind of gestation of Carry the G. We now have a Carry the G Radio dedicated podcast feed. So I will put a link in the description of the YouTube video. You can search for it everywhere you find your podcasts. Make sure, if you are listening to the podcast, you should probably use the iHeart app. But we know there are other places you can find podcasts, and if that's what you're doing, that's fine.
If you're stupid.
Yeah, but...
Listen,
that's how we roll. That's how we market. We call our listeners human stupid. Beings
listen all their podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, because why would you not? It's so not? Much better than everything else.
Everything
Apple,
in place.
That place isn't taking off. No. Google, let me know when that really is highly functional.
No, please.
The iHeartRadio app, absolutely
where,
the best.
That's where it's at.
My absolutely sarcasm not. Font coming through?
Absolutely not. You are 100% earnest. I love it. Billy, can't thank you enough, ma'am. I'll talk to you next week.
Always fun, man. We'll talk next week.